Our scripture reading this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 5, starting with verse 11 and then through chapter 6, verse 12. May the word of God fall afresh on your ears this day. About this, we have much to say that is hard to explain, since you have become dull in understanding. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic elements of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is unskilled in the word of righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose faculties have been trained by practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us go on toward perfection, leaving behind the basic teaching about Christ and not laying again the foundation, repentance from dead works and faith toward God, instruction about baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And we will do this if God permits. For it is impossible to restore again to repentance those who have once been enlightened and have tested the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away, since on their own they are crucifying again the Son of God and are holding him up to contempt. Ground that drinks up the rain, falling on it repeatedly, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is cultivated, receives a blessing from God. But if it produces thorns and thistles, it is worthless and on the verge of being cursed. Its end is to be burned over. Even though we speak in this way, beloved, we are confident of better things in your case, things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust. He will not overlook your work and the love that you showed for his sake in serving the saints, as you still do. And we want each one of you to show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope to the very end, so that you may not become sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. We are on our last week in the sermon series of the seven deadly sins. We are ending with sloth being the vice and diligence being the virtue. We have learned quite a bit, and we've seen how these vices, they're a part of all of us. None of us are immune to any of these vices. And they get in the way. They're selfish tendencies. They're an inward looking in. And they get in the way of our relationship with people and our relationship with God. We get the false understanding that we're looking out for ourselves, taking care of ourselves, when really that's the furthest thing from the truth. These vices in and of themselves are not really sin, but they lead to a pathway of destruction, of sin. The virtues that we've been talking about are relationship building, kingdom building. They teach us, when practiced, to look outside of ourselves, to appreciate all the people around us, the created order of things, to be able to have eyes to see and ears to hear, to be aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life, and to be open to that. You see, when we look inwardly, we become closed. We become so narrow-sighted. When we practice the virtues, we're opened up to so much possibility in the movement of God. This last vice and virtue are no exception. So today we talk about sloth. Most of us, when we hear sloth, we either think of that cute little slow-moving mammal, or we think lazy, being sloth-like. You know, I use this word every once in a while. Like today, I just feel like being a sloth. It really doesn't mean that I want to be a slow-moving mammal, which I probably might be. It just means I want to be lazy today. I don't feel like doing anything. And it's okay to have those recovery days. And I use the word sloth jokingly in those moments because it's not a life pattern for me. It's not a daily pattern for me to be sloth-like. It's just every once in a while, I think God appropriately would probably use the word Sabbath, all right, for those recovery days that we need to take for ourselves. Sloth-like is usually paired with a feeling of not caring. There's several examples of being sloth-like. For example, you like to shop, and you have found that online shopping is really convenient. And this stuff keeps on coming in the mail, but you don't do anything about it. And it just piles up in a corner. I'll get to that later. But you don't. And you don't really have a feeling of caring. Oh, well, I'll get to it eventually. That's sloth-like behavior. It's that partnered with not caring. Sloth-like behavior can be there's a horrible flood in Dickinson. Oh, well, I'm glad my house didn't get flooded. I'm glad somebody else is going to take care of that. It can turn into apathy. Somebody else will take care of that. That's sloth. It's not just a laziness. It is a not caring. I'm not going to do anything about it because I don't care. And if somebody else cares, good for them. They can do it. That's sloth. Sloth can take over our physical state, emotional, spiritual, mental state. Physical. I know that I need to get up out of bed in the morning and exercise or find some time in the day to exercise. But I would rather stay in bed. I know that I need to do this. But the moment that I quit caring about my physical health or my physical physique is the moment I become like a sloth. I'm just not going to exercise. You know what? I already got a man. Who cares what I look like? I'm just going to let myself go. That's being like a sloth because you no longer care. You no longer care. All right? It's not that I'm lazy. I'll go and do other things. In fact, I'll go and cook me a big, juicy hamburger because who cares, right? I don't care what I look like anymore. All right, you see where you're going with the sloth? Not caring about things that you should and just letting things go. All right, physical. Sloth-like behavior could be, you know what, I don't want to change my diet. Yeah, the doctor said I'm headed for a heart attack, a massive one. But yeah, I just want to live life. All right. Instead of taking the diligence to care and to change and to fight it, I'll just give in to it. I'm going to die anyway, right? Might as well live it up. All right, physical state, mental state. You know, I would rather just play these games on my iPad rather than read a book and exercise my brain, learn something new. I'd rather stay in the house and watch the television and get out and enjoy the fresh air. All of a sudden, you're wondering, why am I so forgetful? Why do I feel sluggish up here? Why aren't I processing things as quickly as I used to? Because it is extremely important to exercise your brain. But we'll let entertainment overtake us, and we just won't care anymore. Instead, we'll tell ourselves, you know what, I'm going to see if I can find games to exercise my brain. It's called a book. You have them all over the place. Just pick one up. You already have them. You don't have to worry about getting another game. So this mental capacity will make you feel sluggish. Also, whenever we lock ourselves up in the house like that, and we watch a lot of television, we're not doing a whole lot of things creatively with our hands. Our social skills won't be as well mastered as they once were. All of these things will let relationships go. And all of a sudden you're thinking, when was the last time I made that phone call? When was the last time I reached out? And all of a sudden you're like, you know what? They didn't call me. I don't care. It's this not caring that is the problem. It begins to dull our senses, and we just begin to let things go. You know that old saying, let go, let God? It's just completely forgetting the let God part. It's just letting go. I don't care if it gets done or not. If it gets done, well, that's great. Not, oh well. Emotional state. Sloth can be extremely dangerous because we don't like pain. We've talked about this before. We'll find ways to dull pain. We'll go into addictive habits to dull pain. Sloth is just like telling yourself over and over and over again, I don't care. And it almost becomes a state of hopelessness, sloth can, to your emotional state. Because sloth comes with other adverse aspects, loneliness. If we're not being diligent with relationships, it comes with loneliness. It comes with sluggishness. It comes with not feeling well about yourself. So this emotional state, when we're not around other people to bring us joy and a reason to live and a sense of excitement, we become kind of listless. When we don't have something to live for, when we don't care, we dive into a state of despair. Where is that black pool of despair? Let me jump in. Because we begin telling ourselves, nobody cares. I don't care. Nobody else cares. Nobody cares if I'm here or not. Total loss of sense of purpose. Sloth can lead us there. And all of a sudden, we're in an awful emotional state. We don't care if we live or die. All of a sudden, taking too many pills or using a gun or finding a way to hang ourselves looks appealing. That's a scary place to be. Sloth can lead people there. It's not the only thing that can lead people there, but it is one of them. And the last one is spiritual. Sloth will tear down your spirituality very quickly. It takes a long time to build up a relationship with God, and it takes a very short time to lose it. How many of us have made that New Year's resolution? I am going to pray more. I am going to read my scripture. I am going to journal. I'm going to do all kinds of things this year every single day. And you get through the first couple of weeks like, meh. In fact, it's so easy to forget even what your New Year's resolution was. That's sloth. It's not diligence. We are diligent about the things we care about. That is why it's the virtue. We are in a very sad state of affairs when we don't care about our spiritual health and our relationship with God. Because our relationship with God is what drives our relationship with others. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit within our life that changes us and forms us to be able to partner with God. But if we don't care, God can do all the work. Guess what? God doesn't do all the work. God could do all the work, but God doesn't. Wouldn't it be so much better if God would just come into our hearts with the presence of the Holy Spirit? Ta-da! You're just like Jesus. It was instantaneous. It's a miracle. We're all just like Jesus. Have you ever seen that happen? No, because you have to partner with God. You have to do a lot of the work. It's like that joke, you know, the water's flooding. It's not really funny anymore, is it? Person wants to be rescued. Oh, please, God. And God sends a boat. And they're like, oh, no, God's going to save us. They don't get in the boat. They're on the roof. God sends a helicopter. Oh, God's going to save us. We don't need you. And they die because they drown. They're up. God, why did you save us? I sent you a boat. Sent you a helicopter. You've got to get in, right? You've got to do something. God doesn't do it all. I don't know what those people were waiting for. Angels? I don't know. But sometimes we're like that. Oh, God's going to change me. Right now, it's beyond the state of contentment. Contentment is at least an emotion. You're content about what you have and the way things are. Sloth is like, meh, that's great. Yeah, that's great too. Yeah, it's awful. It's all awful. Who cares? Right? That's sloth, not caring. It penetrates every aspect of our life. It leads into things like depression, feelings of things are just so out of control, because when we're sloth-like, we do let things slide out of control. If we continue to tell ourselves it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter, until it's the big, huge, horrible, big pile of mess. This could be a physical mess in your home. So Mac and I, we've been sloth-like about our garage. You know, when I move, I bring in and I bring in and I bring in and I unpack and I unpack and unpack until we start really living in the house. And then the kids' stuff's thrown everywhere. You know, I've unpacked some things I really like to do. Nobody's really missing those forks. We'll just use plasticware, right? So the garage is still half of it is boxes. Well, we got some new furniture, this couch. What are we going to do with this couch? Let's just stick it in the garage. You know, and Max tools and everything else, because he doesn't have a workbench, is just all over that couch. You know, there's spiders and there's lizards. One time there was a snake in there. Yeah, well, you know. And it just becomes awful. And then Harvey comes, and we got a couple of inches in our garage. And then it stinks. You know, we weren't sloth-like in the sense that, oh, we're not doing anything. We were at other people's houses. I mean, there were people just way worse than us. And it was one of those things where we'll get to it later. We'll get to it later. We have a deep freeze in the garage. And I would go out to pull meat. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't even stay in here for like 2 minutes to get the meat out. It's so horrible smell. I mean, it looks awful and it smells just as bad. And it became such a huge problem. If I would have been dealing with this problem a little bit every single day, it wouldn't have been so bad when Harvey came. But when Harvey finally got here 2 years after we moved, it was awful. So we spent all day yesterday cleaning out this garage, and it's still not quite done, but we got, you know, all the bottom boxes out, and, you know, I have my own process, which is, you know, just another thing. And he's got his own process. He's like, what are you doing? It's a whole nother issue. Another sermon for another time. But anyway, we got as far as we could, and we got some shelves to put in there. I'm like, oh my gosh, we actually have a garage. This is great. Went from like total chaos to a garage. But my point is, it just can be overwhelming when we ignore. And that's part of sloth, like just ignoring the problem. You know there's a problem. Yeah, you know. Sloth-like behavior can be not wanting to confront someone about their problem. Being married to an addict is very hard, and it's very easy to be in denial about that. Oh, we don't have a problem. My spouse doesn't have a problem. We're good. And just bury your head in the sand. That's sloth-like behavior. There's no problem. I don't care. My spouse doesn't need any help. That's sloth-like behavior. When we completely shut down, that is sloth-like behavior. Now, diligence is caring, being passionate. I want you to think about the things you're really diligent at. I bet you it's stuff that you really, really love, or it's what is expected of you. You have to do it, right? It's your job. You're getting paid to do it, so you're going to be diligent about it. You're going to give it its due diligence. And the things that you really, really love, you're going to excel at, right? Diligence is what gets us through. You know, I wasn't the best student. I'm not the smartest cookie in town, not the sharpest tool in the shed, all that other stuff. But what got me through was diligence, tenacity. I got hold of that, and I pursued, and I pursued, and pursued until I achieved it. That's diligence. Really wanting something, really being on fire, really caring. All right? You see what a difference diligence can make, why it's the virtue. Because it takes heart. Diligence takes heart. It takes investment of who you are and who God made you to be. Especially when it comes to our relationship with God. You know, sloth is like, meh, God wants me, God can have me. Yeah, well, but I'm not going to do anything about it. God's going to love me anyway. Well, yeah, you're probably right. But you're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to feel the joy of living if that's your attitude about your relationship with God. Diligence, on the other hand, is, you know what? I've got to know as much about my Creator is going to allow me to know. I am so hungry and so on fire. I want to know more. My heart is just needs to be filled. And knowing that that's the only thing that's going to fill it. So praying and reading scripture and meditating and journaling, coming to church, going to studies, being with other Christians is going to be extremely important in filling that and being diligent about it. We're so lackadaisical about it. Oh, you know, I've got my Bible on the nightstand. It's close. But I get to bed so late. And I'm just so tired. Maybe if I just put it under my pillow, maybe something will soak in there. I love the people who come to the office. Yeah, I've got a Bible. It's kind of dusty. Yeah. And you wonder why you don't know your purpose in life. Your purpose is so very connected with your relationship with God. The more we are drawn into God's kingdom, the more we are living that life, the more we understand what our purpose is in life. We find our purpose through diligence, through doing and partnering with God. Diligence is partnered with our faith. It's a doing. It's a way of living. It's a being. You see, sloth-like is like, yeah, it's not really living. It's existing, and it's barely existing. So your homework this week, as you think about your own relationship with God, you know, you can be sloth-like in any of these, you know, your mental state, your physical state, your emotional, your spiritual. I'd like for you to think about all of those, how you're doing, but especially on your spiritual. How are you doing in that realm? Have you been a sloth? Have you been a little slow going, feeding into your spiritual heart? Have you been listening to God? Have you been speaking to God? Not just about the things you want or the things that you're worried about, but just a conversation of thankfulness. How are you doing? Can you be more diligent in that relationship? Or is there a relationship you just absolutely let go? You're like, oh, I kind of miss that friend. Is there someone that you can be Christ for? That you can be diligent in pursuing that? How are you in taking care of yourself? Have you been diligent in taking care of your body, what the scripture calls your temple, the temple of God? How about your brain? Are you feeding your brain? Are you reading the things that you should? Are you watching the things that you should? Are you listening to the things that you should? As we go forth this week, I want you to think about these things. Where do I need to be more diligent? Where do I need to show more passion? Where do I need to show more love to build up those relationships? Because that's, God is diligent. God doesn't stop. What God does, God does. God continuously does. And it's really the only reason why we have a relationship. Because if it was up to us, and God just decided to stop having a relationship with us, guess what? We wouldn't have one. It's because of God's diligence, God's faithfulness, God's love, God's generosity. God is good all the time. Even when we act like slow-moving mammals, God is good. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. As the band gets back up...